This is The Truth Unfiltered with Dr. Ken Harris.
I heard a guy on a podcast say, if you're playing in a professional game that has been set up, if you go to a casino, the odds are markedly and wickedly against you winning. The house is set to win roughly 98% of the time.
Live at The Avenue, here's Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 8332. Woo! I did it. Well, no! 833-212-1017 is the number. Or you can, because a lot will be pre-recorded on our sister station, 1017 The Truth, on Monday night. Or the WTMJ Sighting Unlimited talk and text line is 855-616-1620. So you can get either one. You can go. Let me check. You know, I haven't checked YouTube today. Somebody might have been hollering at me on YouTube, and I haven't checked. And I didn't go there. You know, somebody would have been, you know, hitting me in the side of the head. I'm trying to talk to you, and you're not doing anything. Rule number one, when you have a white screen, you can't have a white cursor because it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Let me see if there are any. Any comments? James Brown was whack, too. Just great hits, melody.
I think it's talking about the James Brown movie.
Yeah. It was. It kind of was. Like, I can't argue. Like, I'm trying to think of a way to argue that, and I really can't. Yeah, it really wasn't that great. So, I'm just saying. Let me hit the Signing Unlimited WTMJ talking text line before I go. The fleeing and eluding an officer is actually a felony. It's a Class H felony in Wisconsin. Usually this criminal charge is a result of police pursuit that ended. Charge requires defendant fail to pull over after receiving an audio siren and visual light signal from the police.
And if you're 16 and get charged with fleeing and eluding, it's an adult jurisdiction charge and you're going to be in adult court for it.
Well, actually, if you're 16, all traffic goes to adult court.
That's basically what I was getting at,
yep.
too.
Yep. All traffic goes to adult court. Even though when you're in court, they'll go in chambers because you're under 18. So it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, my full-time job, I don't see too many traffic violations except for fleeing and eluding. So most of the other stuff is usually criminal charges.
Back in the day when operating after revocation was a state crime, and technically it still is, you'd get arrested for it and processed. And so back then, if you had two suspensions, you were automatically revoked, and then they've then softened that, and now you can have a city revocation because they were locking people up. It didn't make any sense. We had a lot of weird stuff in the 1990s. But Fling, who sent me that? Tom from New Berlin, thank you so very much. Tom said, I am white and not racist. Oh, okay. Most white people aren't. You can easily tell who's racist by mentioning two words. George Floyd. That man was totally innocent and is on film cooperating with police. Those that make or made negative statements about George Floyd are racist.
Okay.
I got a little time to go down the rabbit hole. So one of the things I think people missed about George Floyd is what causes your death and your past has no bearing on it unless you contributed to it. In other words, if you shot at the police in the shoot and the police shot you, that's different from you having me in custody and me giving you resistive tension, as most people do. And then I get you in cuffs and I get you on the ground. And as I believe cops are taught now, positional asphyxiation, they even have it in babies. That's why babies lay on their back in a crib. Because when you're on your chest or you're asleep, One, a baby doesn't have the strength that if they can't breathe to roll over. Adults with your knee in their back or your knee on their neck, you know, and then it got over, oh my God, his knee is on his neck. No, their knee is across the blade of their back and they're holding them down. Like it was just, there were a lot of things that Minnesota law enforcement were not taught, and everything Derek Chauvin did was based on Minnesota law enforcement training. So in that instance, he didn't do anything wrong. The technique he used. The problem was with his deliberate indifference. Someone told you they couldn't breathe. Someone told you that they were hurting. Your fellow officer said, hey, you might want to let him up. And you brushed them off because you were the supervisor there. Now, why they locked up the Asian guy as if he was supposed to go tackle Derek Chauvin and get him off the guy doesn't understand law enforcement culture. They don't understand rules and procedures. What that man did to Eric Chauvin was a travesty and a crime, and he should stay in jail as long as he's supposed to be in jail for every single day, every hour, every minute. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you for that. All right. So you just caused trouble. So Mother's Day. I got a question about Mother's Day. Not a big deal, but I got a question about Mother's Day. All right. What one thing did your mother do that changed your life for good? Like, what's the one thing your mother did and you thought about it later and went, huh, and it made you great? Because, you know, we overlook a lot of things when it comes to mom. We overlook a lot of things, but things your mother told you not to do or to do, something your mom did that changed your life for good, like made you go, whoa. Or, and it probably made you mad at the time, made you upset at the time. And then later you went, thank you very much. I appreciate it because, whew, glad I didn't do that. My mother always told me, be able to do something with your hands, with your body, with your, and you will always have a job. Now, I understand my mother grew up and was born during poverty. She was born at a time when the country was in the middle of, you know, I mean, devastation. And she was in the South, and she was part of that great migration that moved to Chicago and places throughout the Midwest. Well, now the great migration is moving south again. But I digress. That one thing your mother did that changed your life for good. Like, I'm going to do that. When I told my mother I had applied and was going to be a police officer in Milwaukee, she said, good. I was trying to be one in Illinois and different places. And she was like, I'm going to Milwaukee. She said, good. And that gave me my cosign to say, I can do it. So I did. And I thought it was great. Had a great time. And she was here for my graduation and all that stuff. So it was pretty cool. But 855-616-1620 is the Citing Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. What was the one thing your mother did that changed your life? Like, put you on a trajectory, stopped you from doing something you weren't supposed to do. Stop smoking that weed, whatever it was. Whatever your mother told you to do. Moms are powerful too. By the way, did you ever get a spanking? Some people are like, oh my God, it's child abuse. If that's what you believe, that's fine. I don't really care what you believe, if that's what you believe. But, you know, I got spankings. I didn't get a lot of spankings. Like, I remember, like, maybe three. But I remember a funny one. So my mother was mad at me for doing something. And back in the day, you know, you had those TVs that sat on the floor with the big screen. Y'all probably don't remember those. Floor model TV. Ooh, it was used. And the glass in the front of that thing was thick. Well, I was peeking over the table, and we had the coffee table, and I was laying in front watching TV, and she kept telling me to move. And I would put my head up. I was eating popcorn or something. She's like, move! And then she finally took her shoe off, and she threw it to hit me in the head. And I ducked. And it hit the TV. And it broke it. You think she was mad after that? Yeah, I got a spanking. Wasn't my fault. You got any of those stories, Evan?
I don't remember ever getting a spanking. I think we just kind of like my mom and dad would be like, hey, these are the rules, these are the expectations. And we're just, okay.
Oh, that's right. You're younger.
I don't really remember.
You're one of those younger people.
Well, I just don't remember like being spanked, whatever. Like my parents were strict, but we walked, you know, we told the line. We didn't cross that line with them because we didn't want to deal with the repercussions of that.
But there were no repercussions because she didn't spank you. What, she take away
good,
your PlayStation
or something? I was a
goody
little two shoes when I was a kid, so I didn't give her any reason to spank me.
It took away your... Either that or she tied you all down. You're not leaving the house. Where's God? Oh, yeah. Why is your kid coming to school with rope burns? Oh, we tied him down because he wouldn't act right. Like, no. I never gave her any
reason to spank me.
Really?
No, I was a goody two shoes growing up.
That doesn't mean you're a goody two shoes. Maybe in action, but definitely not in thought. No, Evan, I cannot believe that. I honestly cannot believe you are or were a goody two shoes.
I definitely was.
Give me a percentage. 80%, 90%?
Probably around that, yeah.
Nah. I beg to differ. We need a judge to come in and come on. I don't know. There was nothing you did, but you didn't get caught at?
So I didn't really start doing things I, quote unquote, probably shouldn't do until probably senior year of high school and, you know, hang out with my friends and make, you know, do things that I wasn't of age to do at that point and hang out.
Notice I didn't say what he did. He just said he did it and you weren't of age. Okay.
But by then, you know, my parents weren't as, you know, they weren't as strict as they were because I'm pretty much soon to be 18. So.
Yeah, but they also didn't know.
Yeah.
Because you didn't tell them.
I think they knew, they just pretended not to know.
You go with that. But I bet if you call her and ask her, hey, mom, did you ever? You really want to know that answer? Oh, I know you did. This. And then you should ask her, how'd you know?
My parents aren't stupid.
No. You know what I think she'll say? I did it too. So I recognize it. So,
yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. That's pretty darn cool. When we come back, you might be able to help me with this, Evan, because NASCAR. I don't understand NASCAR. I know it's a car that drives around and all that, right? I'm going to talk about women in NASCAR. You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris.
Welcome back to the Truth Unfiltered.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. NASCAR. Women in NASCAR. Anybody tell me about NASCAR? I don't really. Destiny Spurlock just made NASCAR history. This is from thegrio.com. When Destiny Spurlock climbed behind the wheel at Watkins Glen this week, she wasn't just racing for herself. She was racing straight into history. 34-year-old Richmond, Virginia native officially became the first black woman to complete in one of NASCAR's top three national series after making her NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series debut on May 8th at Watkins Glen International. For longtime racing fans, especially black women who spent the decades watching motorsports from the sidelines with little representation, the moment landed bigger than a single race that weekend. Spurlock's path to NASCAR wasn't traditional. EUR Webb reported, before stock cars, she built her name on two wheels. Professional motorcycle drag racer at age 17. Later competed in the NHRA Pro Stock Motorcycle Championship, competition, a space where black women have historically been the most non-existent. And in 2024, she set a real street bike record, world record, with a blistering 7.32 elapsed time at 178 miles an hour while becoming the first woman to win the DME Racing Real Street class in XDA series. She's now taking that same fearlessness into stock car racing. But I don't really get stock car racing. So you drive around and they got rules and you drive. Can anybody explain that to me? I don't really. I've never in my entire life, from the time I was born until today on May 10th at 24 minutes after the hour and 15 seconds, watched the race.
Now, I used to watch it when I was a kid back in like elementary, middle, high school.
That was like 5 years ago. What were we doing?
I wish it was. but it was just, Saturday, Sunday, it was just one of the things. My dad and I, we would sit down and watch the races. And I can't really give a reason on the why. At the time, it was entertaining to watch. And
how was it entertaining? See, that's what I'm trying to drive at. What's entertaining about going around?
As I said, I can't really go into detail now on the why. But at the time, when I was in middle high school, okay, I thought it was fun and entertaining to watch.
And what was fun and entertaining about it when you were in middle school or high school?
I guess can't really put a word on it. It was just watching people drive that fast. And it does take some skill to not crash at driving 200 miles per hour.
Sure.
It used to be a pretty popular sport. I don't know if you want to call it a sport. I maybe don't want to call it one. But it used to be pretty extremely popular, I would say, probably up until the middle 2000s, like right around the, 2008 when we had an economy collapse. But then it kind of went away after that because, NASCAR and race car drivers depend a lot on sponsorships to make money, and people weren't paying money back in 2008 when the markets crashed.
I can't see making money in NASCAR.
They had a huge television deal with Fox, and these guys were making millions upon millions, like Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Like, I don't know what the prize money is now, but they were making millions of dollars a year. Multiple millions of dollars a year racing.
It just looks like there's a competition. We'll compete at anything, it seems like. Like, I don't understand UFC. We're going to get in a ring. We're going to fight. We're not going to have gloves on versus having gloves on and being in a boxing match. Like, is this why? Beat the crap out of each other. Kick each other. Like, this. And I guess it's feeding ego. I don't know. Feeding ego.
I think that's a good way to put it, feeding ego.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about mothers all day. 262-844 said, not something she told me I needed to, rather a brilliant saying from a mom. It will never say on your tombstone, you kept a clean house. So then what does that mean to you then? Interesting. Very interesting. And it's funny the things that we remember. Like, I wonder if we could just get everything our mothers all told us and put it in one book. I don't think there's enough pages in the world.
Probably not. I think we'd probably use every single tree that's left.
Would be enough pages.
Oh. Honestly, for me, I can't. There's a lot of things that my mom said and whatnot that I could probably mention, but the one thing that really stood out to me is just always being in my corner, having my back, and never allowing me to put limits on myself. Cause I had to have an IEP in school. I had a speech impediment and people wanted to put limits on me because of that. And she was always like, no, like, you're not to the school. I was like, no, you're not putting limits on him. You're going to treat him like you would every other student. And one of the, I think it's third grade or fourth grade, we do that big reading test every year.
Right, all right.
They were like, well, he can take it, but we don't want to count it against our scores. I ended up having the highest score in the entire school.
So but we're going to assume that the way you speak
is
the way you think or able to write.
But I'm just saying the way she always fought for me and, encouraged me to, do things that, people didn't think I could do. I think that's the big thing I remember. It stands out to me with my mom.
Yep. I find that interesting. I think when I went to college, my mother let me make my own decisions, and I wanted to be an architect, and I loved being an architect, and I probably would have made a I would have made a good architect. I just got bored. And part of it was having to do the same thing every day over and over and over. And I'm pretty sure I would eventually got fired. Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I would have definitely got fired. Mike, you're on the award-winning, the magnanimous Truth Unfiltered. How are you? Had to come up with some words.
I loved it. Yeah, that was pretty good. I love to listen to your show. I really do. It's more interesting when you have that lady on that I never remember her name. But not Denise that you're Thomas. Not interesting. Don't get me wrong.
Denise yeah, Thomas. It. Everybody anyway. Remembers Denise, never me. Okay.
So we're talking about things that you remember about your mother. This is, I'll never forget this. I'm 14 years old, and I'm getting ready to go on to my first prom or date or dance or whatever. But I had no idea how to dance. So I asked my mother, can you teach me how to slow dance? And she taught me, it was basically four steps. It was like a box, you know. But she taught me how to do that. So why do I remember that? Well, I remember that because from that point forward, I was one of the most popular boys in school because I knew how to dance with the girls.
Wow. Amazing.
I miss her. The last time I went to, I'm here in Wisconsin. She's mm-hmm. buried in Michigan. But the last time I went there, and I went to her grave, and I just started bawling. Uncontrollably. I couldn't believe it. I'm 78 now. I think that was when I was 75 or 76, something like that. But it's a wonderful day for mothers. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's just as powerful for sons, in my opinion. Anyway.
Absolutely. But you know, now you're going to cause a problem, right? Now you got to find somebody so the next time you visit your mother's grave, you got to go dance.
Oh, God, that's a good idea.
You got to go
dance.
Maybe
I could.
Absolutely.
You should. Well, I shouldn't dance on the grave, but I could. That's a good idea. That's a damn good idea.
Yeah, take a little radio or take your phone and play a music off Spotify or something and just have a little dance.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody else dances cool. by themselves. We can dance by ourselves too. At least for our moms, right?
Darn right. All right.
Thank you,
Mike. Doctor.
Appreciate it.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered.
Thirty-four minutes after the hour, I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, on Truth Unfiltered. We got a few more minutes to go. So, is it time for an electric car? I wonder. Gasoline prices continue, Lord, to rise. Today, it cost me $85 to fill up my car. So now people I know are looking at EVs, electric vehicles, as both economic and political conversation. Politics at this point have nothing to do. Tesla, Ford, GM, they've expanded their electric production. I guess we're building out all this electrical stuff for all the data centers. We can do it for electric cars. They got advantages, but then some of them don't have advantages. One major advantage is that electric car is fuel savings. When prices are over $5 a gallon like they are now, I wonder how much it would have cost me to charge it. I'm sure it's significantly less than filling up with gas. That's what I'm thinking. EVs also generally require less maintenance because they have fewer moving parts, no oil changes, no fewer brake replacements due to regenerative braking, lower engine-related repair costs. Environmentally, electric vehicles also reduce tailpipe emissions, which appeals to people talking about air quality and all that stuff. For commuters driving predictable daily routes, electric vehicles can provide long-term financial stability. You know what you're going to pay in electric, and you're done. However, there's some stuff about electric cars that, well, like if your battery goes, the amount of money it costs, the upfront purchase is higher than a gas-powered car. And that's even with federal and state incentives. It still costs more. Charging infrastructure, yeah. You might have to take a route somewhere out of town because you can charge your car, which means you got to wait, which means it takes longer. So you're going to get what's called range anxiety, right? I can only get 200 and something miles. But does it really get 200 and something miles, right? Well, the battery is rated. That's like your car. Your car can get this mileage. No, not really. And, of course, parts of the Midwest and the South, we really don't have a lot of that stuff. You can run out of battery power. Can we run on sun power? I wonder. Cold-weather states like here in Wisconsin, battery performance declines during harsh winter. Additionally, critics argue that America's electric grid and battery supply chains depend on what? Foreign minerals and infrastructure not under control of the U.S. In the end, though, I mean, come on, in the end, electric vehicles can, they're not a perfect solution, nor are they a passing trend. They're building more and more of those cars every day, and they represent a major shift in transportation, and for some families, it's a smart financial move. For others, gas vehicles still offer greater convenience and practicality simply because even though I got to pay $85 for some gas, I can go find that gas pretty much everywhere in cities and rural areas. Not so with electric. So my question to you is, would you choose gas or electric? Gas or electric? Now, in the last break, we were talking about NASCAR. I was talking about the black woman that's, you know, breaking the barriers in NASCAR. I don't know if there were barriers. I think we're just getting into NASCAR. Would you watch NASCAR with electric cars? The look on Evan's face was like, are you kidding? I mean, think about it. Think about all the emissions, you know, all the climate change people, we're gonna kill people. And I know the breathing and all that stuff, and that is serious. But electric cars, you would never hear them.
No, that's part of the fun is hearing the engines and the revving of the engines and all that stuff. That's part of the fun.
That would be funny. Like,
sound like a bunch of mosquitoes.
Wait a minute. What are you doing? I'm watching a race.
Sounds like you're listening to a bunch of mosquitoes.
Oh, he's at 200 miles an hour. How do you know? Like, that's what you would hear. Who would watch that? Who would watch that? And do you recharge? Like, how do you recharge? Okay, everybody goes 15 minutes, and then you got to stop.
Would you have to change tires so often if it's electric, too, like you do for currently?
Does that really matter? I think that's a byproduct of speed, right? But then you're right. The friction and the gas and the oil and all that, a lot of that stuff you wouldn't need. But I think the electric car would break down. It'd be too much friction. I don't think you could take it. 262-227, we were talking about NASCAR earlier. He said contemporary NASCAR, much more so than years ago, is highly competitive with drivers competing for season points by finishing in the top few of each of two other segments in the race, as well as at the end. Plus timing of pit stops, tire replacement, fueling. You wouldn't have fueling with electric. You wouldn't need a pit stop probably either. Plus,
we need a pit stop for tire changes.
Well, the pit of the The speed of the pitch crew really make or break results. Also, speed violations in the pits and crashes there and on the track and cause a great race so far for a car driver owner to come to an untimely end. Yeah, I mean, if you drive at 200 some miles an hour and stop suddenly, that'll bring everybody to an end. And this year, Michael Jordan is the primary sponsor of the most winning drivers this season. Yep. So, but would you do electric cars? An electric car? Think about that. Electric car at NASCAR. You'd have to change the name. Like, I don't know. I don't know enough about NASCAR to go, oh, it can be, like, I just don't know. I just don't know. 855-616-1620, Siding Unlimited, WTMJ, talk and text line. Four one four four oh three said, didn't Trump talk about grill baby grill for oil? I think drill baby drill, maybe. Dodge comes back with the Hemi V8, and now it's high gas prices. Let's go electric. That's not a reason to go electric. I don't think that's a reason to go electric. Watch this. If you can afford a Hemi V8, you can afford to pay for the gas. I have a foreign car. Most foreign cars drive. I love. See, this is how people thought. It's the collusion. They have it. Okay, so when you make a car, you make a car where, you know, it has to be 91, right? The highest they have is 85 and 93. So you always got to buy the most expensive gas. They did that for gas companies. You're talking about there's no collusion between gas companies and auto manufacturers? That's a lie. Oh, we just set the standards. Well, then set the standard at 85. And then I can buy medium instead of premium. And everybody's fine. But they don't do that. Oh, you need 91 octane. Well, the problem is, or higher, and they only make 93. And then the lowest they make is like 85. Like, what is that? They want to make money. We'll help you out. You help us out. We'll make a car that takes 91 or higher, and you make sure all the gas is at 93 so you make more money. Okay. And they may not be in collusion. Somebody just might have went, hey, if we make it higher, we could pay more. You got to buy the highest price of gas. That just, yeah, that kind of sticks in my craw. 414-403 said, I'll wait for solid state EV cars. Super quick charge and a lot longer range. Yeah, good luck with that. Here's a kicker. They probably already invented it. They're just not giving it to us. Because I don't think they want us to have it. I do. I think that they've created all these cars and all these cars are here, but they don't want us to have it because it would then cause them to get rid of all the old ones. It's like when the Japanese invented the transistor radio. Anything with a tube, instantly gone. All the manufacturing. You realize what Westinghouse had to do to change their manufacturing scheme because it's like the first cell phone. Were you even alive when the first cell phone came out? The first cell phone was like this big, and it was like a brick, and you had to carry it with you, and now it's this. And they're smaller than this, and they're better than this. And then people go, oh, it's got so many gadgets on it. You know why it's got so many gadgets on it? Because the battery is so good that they got to use that to burn down the battery. And when they burn down the battery, it'll wear out the battery and you got to buy a new one. Otherwise, it would just run forever. I need a solar-powered car and a solar-powered phone, and then I never need a battery again. That would be great. What are your thoughts? 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Of course, as always, you can go to YouTube whenever, wherever you're listening. No, we are live on YouTube as well. All you got to do is search 620 WTMJ on YouTube and subscribe. Hit the notification bell, and you will never, ever, ever miss a show. My final segment for the day, this is something Evan and I are going to fight about because I want to know more than anything about something that I never knew about until I moved to Wisconsin. Yes, I know it's embarrassing to some people. I don't get embarrassed that easily or ever. So I want to talk about custard.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered.
Minutes after the hour, I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris on Truth Unfiltered. Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line is 855-616-1620. If you got anything you want to share about today, 414-403 added in the Talk and Text Line. I'll wait for solid state EV cars. And I said, good luck with that. And they responded, it's coming. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I just want solar powered. If you can get solid state, I want solar powered. I want solar powered cars. And then at night, it can switch over to the battery. And then that way we're done. I'm just saying. Yeah, 52 degrees. The low tonight is 42, so we got a 10 more degrees to go before it gets a little chilly. I know out west, central, along I-94 is supposed to drop to freezing. Ooh, so, yeah. We'll see how that goes. That's going to be an interesting time. So, my question, and I'm going to ask Evan first, and then you can tell me which one you would choose. Now, I didn't know this thing like custard. I never like knew what custard was. Like, what is that? Custard. And then I moved here, then they had these two places. And I think the first place I tasted custard was Cops, and I thought it was ice cream. And somebody told me, it's not ice cream, that's custard. And then I went to Culver's, and I thought it was ice cream. And they said, no, it's not ice cream, that's custard. And I went, what's the difference? I have no idea what the difference is between custard and ice cream, except I don't know if they're both made with milk. Custard sounds like it's the diet soda of, you know what I mean? It's just like, I have no idea.
It's just the way it's made. So I Googled it too, because I get confused on which one's which sometimes in regards to guidelines. Biggest difference between the two based off USDA guidelines is frozen custard is usually including egg yolks in it, where ice cream is usually just milk and cream. And a sweetener, typically sugar. So it's just the additional, the egg yolks is the difference between the two.
So,
and then how it's made.
So I could damage my heart eating custard. Is that what I'm hearing?
I guess.
Too many eggs. I don't know. I'm just making it up.
Yeah, it says production too. It goes, quote, ice cream is made in a machine that churns air into the base as it freezes. It has a lighter mouthfeel. Frozen custard is produced in a machine that incorporates as little air as possible, so it's denser, thicker, and velvety texture more than ice cream. So it's basically thicker than ice cream.
So what about calories? Can you check to see what calorie difference between the two?
Both have a lot of calories. I guess I'll just leave it at that one. Either way, I enjoy my concrete mixers. What can I say?
What's the calorie comparison? I love live radio. For custard versus ice cream. And Google says custard generally has fewer calories than ice cream, with 122 calories per 100 grams compared to 207 calories per 100 gram for ice cream. Wow. That's a lot. Custard has 51 milligrams of cholesterol, though. Ice cream has 44 milligrams of cholesterol.
The egg yolk comes into play.
However, ice cream contains roughly twice the calories and four times the sugar of custard, making it higher in fat and carbohydrates, while custard provides slightly more protein and calcium. Custard's lower calorie content is partly due to its denser texture, like you said, Evan, you're smart, and lower air incorporation during production. Interesting. Interesting. Even ice cream has higher totals in saturated fat. Wow. But protein is custard because they got the eggs. But vitamins and minerals, ice cream is richer in vitamin A, where custard has more vitamin D, selenium, and phosphorus. So I guess you got to pick your poison, huh? Got to pick your poison. So that being said, you ready? Cops or Culver's? Wow, he paused. I got it.
No, woo! Well,
I got him.
I don't. So for me to go to Cops, I got to make a trip up to. I don't get up to Milwaukee very often unless I'm working to go into a Brewer Bucks game.
All things being equal,
I prefer Culver's because I eat Culver's more frequently. I don't have the availability to eat Cops.
That is not an answer.
I just don't have, again, it's like a 30-minute drive to get to the closest Cops where I can just drive 5 minutes to Culver's, you know?
But you've tasted Cops and you've tasted Culver's. Which one, if you had to choose?
Prefer Culver's.
Taste? Okay. All right.
Burger-wise, Cops.
See, I didn't say burgers. I didn't say burgers. I'm just saying. See how you just take it all past the ice cream and see? Now you got me hungry.
You started it.
Yes, I did. Because when I first started, I went to Cops like all the time. Oh, you gotta go to Cops, gotta go to Cops. All right, I'll go to Cops, gotta go to Cops, gotta go to Cops. And I went to Cops. Now I go to Culver's. Why? 100% of what Evan just said, it's closer. Like it's right there.
Yeah. Why drive 30 minutes? You can just drive 5 minutes.
I drive past three Culver's between here and work.
And the way home tonight, they probably won't be open by the time I get to Racine.
Right.
I'll drive by too.
Right. And you can tell you're from there, Racine.
Well, originally from Madison, but I've lived in Racine since 2008.
But you understand what I'm saying? People that are not from Wisconsin, it's Racine. People from Racine say Racine, which I don't really know what a Racine is. Like, what exactly is a Racine? I don't know. We're just coming into so many things tonight. See what you can do when Denise is not here? You can do all sorts of guy stuff. I'm kidding. I don't want to get beat up. But yeah, I was always wondering which one. And so I think I would have to go with Culver's.
So Racine is a French word for root. And you got the Root River right there and starts in Racine County.
That's smart. So I guess they gave this a little bit of thought before they decided to, you know, do all this street naming. Isn't it weird, though? You go to every city and every city pretty much. Like, I wonder what is the one street name that's in every city.
I'd say I'm pretty positive it's a Dr. King Drive in pretty much every city, major city.
No. Well, we got a few seconds. Let's check. What street name appears?
I think every street has a Springfield. I mean, every state has a Springfield.
And cities. Main Street, Second Street, and Oak Street. I can believe that. I can see that. Yeah. Well, I want to say thank you for being here tonight. We had a great time. Thank you on the Talking Text and the YouTube chat. No show next week, so we'll be hanging out. Stay tuned. Thank you, Evan. Appreciate you. And you, our fam here at 620 WTMJ and 101.7 The Truth. Appreciate you. God bless. Take care. Love you. I'm out.